Blog Talk Radio. Host Merle Exit. Oh, it's a little chilly here in New York City. Yeah. Well, at least I wasn't near the little earthquake that was out on Long Island. Yep. It was actually an earthquake in the Hamptons. 3.9 on the Richter scale. Odd place, huh? Well, anyway, it's like 6 p.m. on my time right now. I'm in New York City. And, it's back to Irvine again, California, that is. While I was in Irvine, I went there, in September, and then I was just back there, around November, I think 12th to 13th I was there. I went first to Long Beach and then on to Irvine. And I wanted to see some of the places that I hadn't seen when I was out there in September. And so what we're going to be chatting about, one of the places I went to, shop to a drop, the South Coast Plaza Shopping Center. Wow, talk about big. It's kind of like a really kind of upscale kind of place. And more like a mall. And we're going to be talking with the marketing director, Werner Escher. And let's see that. Oh, history, yes. History and history in the making. I did get some historical places and some hysterical places as well. And, I ran into Ken Beck while I was staying at the Embassy Suites Hotel, who's the, marketing at the Embassy Suites there. And he also does tours. And the tour that he did was a history tour, so he's going to come on and chat about that. And and what happens is two other events came up that made history. One of them, and Dale Jelinek, he's going to talk about this new military memorial that came up. And it also seems, I don't think I'll be able to get them on, Don Bren, who's the CEO of the Irvine Company, has donated 20,000 acres of land to the Parks Department. And so we're going to kind of chat about that as well. And I'm waiting for Werner to call in. I may have to grab my cell phone and call him. But in the meantime, one of our sponsors, of course.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Mmm, you can get these wonderful brownies. This is a great time to start getting them on www.brownie.com. And also they have their delicious cookies, too. Double chocolate chip. And the cookies are, they're kind of a little on the softer side, which I like. So you don't have to crunch your brains out, your teeth out on them. They're so good. And, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song. And I don't have too many songs here. I got to really redo a whole bunch of songs up here. It's one of my favorites from Hair.
We starve, look at one another, short of breath. Walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new toll lies with supreme visions of lonely tunes. Somewhere inside something there is a rush.
That absolutely adores you and exit stage left. I'm sorry, I'm entering stage right.
Right.
You know, I get mixed up every time I call you. But we don't talk that often, but the other day was so much funny, so much fun, and it was funny at the same time.
Yeah. So, first of all, introduce yourself to my audience.
Well, my name is Werner Escher, and I'm the executive director of... we've shortened the title to tourism, and it's actually a long title of domestic and international markets, but it's really tourism, and it's really a place that that is here in California, Southern California, between San Diego and Los Angeles, a place that is an international destination, a place that is visited annually by 23 million people and upwards. And a place that really is not only shopping and dining, spa, but a wonderful theater complex, the Segerstrom Center for the Arts, all in one location. And Myrtle, we had the opportunity to actually host you and enjoyed your company, as well as those that have come before you.
How would you kind of describe the essence of the place?
The essence of the place is really window shopping is part of the fun of South Coast Plaza, because there's adventure, there's discovery around every corner that you turn. We call it walking our streetscape. And our windows are incredible. I mean, let me just paint a story. You can have a couple hand in hand, you can have a single man, a single woman. At any rate, certainly an international of customers, that really find shopping at South Coast Plaza, particularly window shopping, is really kind of fun. It's really where the people really find out what is fashionable, what people are wearing. And that goes to say the same thing about our restaurants. And that kind of works with the restaurants and the shopping because, and they do go hand in hand because we do not have a food court. We do have sidewalk dining. And it's wonderful because you can see what people are walking, who they're walking with, what kind of bags they're carrying, and certainly what they're wearing. At the same time, enjoying really the respite of a quiet moment, or of maybe with family and friends, not a very quiet moment, but an agitated, excitable conversation, and certainly good food. Well, let me continue maybe the scenario of walking, because it's kind of interesting. The store windows here are very arresting, and you take a typical situation where somebody's looking at their smartphone, and they're texting, and they're Facebooking, and they're Twixing and Tweetering, and all of a sudden they look up, and breaking through this cacophony of digital whatever is a beautiful store window. And here the store window really, again, is captivating. I'd like to think I describe our store windows as effectively competing with blue skies and sunsets here in California. Again, South Coast Plaza is 15 minutes from the Pacific Ocean. And, of course, so you have ocean, you have warm weather, and you certainly have the man-made wonders of Disneyland 20 minutes away, and you have the man-made wonder of a zoo in San Diego and SeaWorld, Universal Studios up to the north. And again, I think we compete with those because this is such a special place and it's so much fun to shop. People shop when they come here. I mean, that's not the only reason for coming here.
One of the things that I notice is that it's a combination of mall and shopping center. And
yes.
I say mall, meaning that there's a lot where you don't have to go outside to go from one store to another. That's how I see it in terms of a mall. And then there's across the way, which I never got to, which looks like a shopping center, meaning you have to go out the door and into the, outside to go to the next place.
Right,
am I correct?
Well, yeah, that's true, and it's connected by the Bridge of Gardens. In fact, we have two sides of the street, and the Bridge of Gardens effectively is an outside dining area, and it's also a beautiful runway for fashion shows and a water element. And again, it's a bridge that is accessible by elevator, escalator, and or steps. And it goes to the other side of the street, which reminds me is the reason for you to come back and visit us again, because actually the other side of the street to the west is really a duplication of this, where I am headquartered, on the east side. And again, further east is another bridge called the Unity Bridge, and that connects the West and South Coast Plaza Hotel, the spa, and the Performing Arts Center, the Repertory Theater, which won a Tony Award, by the way, and also the Renee and Henry Segerstrom Concert Hall, all in one, and the Samueli Theater, which is a fine little 500-seat cabaret theater, all of which is under the umbrella of the Segerstrom Center for the Arts. So it's a walking environment here. Oh, I almost forgot. Move to the north of us is South Coast Plaza Village, which is it's all outside, and it's a destination for really fine restaurants. And that's another thing here, the symbiotic relationship.
I didn't see that.
Pardon me?
Well, that's another reason
for you to come back. That's another reason for you to come back.
Oh, so I'll have to come back a third time then, huh? To get this all back.
Of course. Well, we look forward to that.
There's two other places that I now have to see, which is that military memorial.
That's right, in Irvine.
Yeah, and then also to check out this thing with the Parks Department with the 20,000 acres that Don Brend handed over.
Right, that was in the paper yesterday.
As a
matter of fact, you were telling me to describe South Coast Plaza. I don't want to get off the message here. but really, My gosh, Merle, do you remember when you were here that if you were driven here or you drive your own car here, we have valet parking. We introduced that about 25 years ago. There's four valet parking stations, and we were the first really to introduce valet parking into the mix of retail centers, shopping malls, shopping districts. And we followed that some years later with concierge desks. And a concierge desk is like a hotel here, where actually through the efforts of our director of retail services, we have a concierge that actually help you wayfind. Where is the store located? In addition to directories, that was the other reason why we will have attendance at these directories during the holiday season. But the concierge service also takes advantage of making dinner reservations, luncheon reservations for dining, as well as theater, as well as the issuing of gift certificates, as well as the lending and certainly of strollers and other, you know, items, amenities that might be required. We also have currency exchange, which is nice, another amenity for certainly the international traveler. And, of course, at one time we had a certain travel writer that said, you know, this is really, to me, a shopping resort. And so we did trademark the Ultimate Shopping Resort, but it seems that more people and writers that said, well, is this a shopping resort or is it really an international destination? From the people that we hear talking and the people that we see that are shopping and dining here, it's international, and that's certainly very true, very true. You know, can I tell you something? Myrtle,
yes.
Honest to God, we even have people from Queens, New York visiting us. Do you know that?
Really?
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, one of the things that's great about going into that area is I know at least two of the hotels that have shuttle services that will take you to the shopping center.
Oh, my gosh, yes. The Montage, for example, the Fairmont, and there's a number of other hotels.
Yeah,
also,
was that the Embassy Suites?
Yes, that's true. And then
I think the Atrium.
The Atrium? Yes, thank you. Now, your listeners, you know, can actually stay in nearby Anaheim at any one of the Disney properties and or 10, 12 other hotels, because three times a day we have a shuttle that picks people up from those hotels. And we also started, pardon me, service to Long Beach. Long Beach, again, is only 20, 25 minutes away, and Anaheim is 20, 25 minutes away. So, again, it's another opportunity, I think, to provide the customer easy access to South Coast Plaza.
Yeah, and speaking of access.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. That was a lead into the access suite. Oh, my gosh. You know, we're talking about, you know, how this is an experience, and certainly the opportunity to valet park or to have a concierge provide, you know, easy directions and all that that goes with accommodating the customer. Now the access suite, which is really, and you enjoyed that as well as I enjoyed being there with you, because the access suite is much like the airport lounge, where you know, where you have snacks and you have the opportunity for beverage service, and that beverage service does include not to exceed two glasses of wine or to exceed two glasses of beer, but more importantly the latte or the cappuccino or the cup of coffee that goes with that. And we do also cater lunches there. And we also really provide the opportunity for Wi-Fi, hi-fi. And there's a room that's, the room that people lie motionless for some time and enjoy really a quiet
the nap
moment.
Room.
Then what is it called again?
We'll call it the nap room.
The nap room, yes. Well, we got the man cave.
I mean, there's
cave.
I have to tell you,
if you were in the man cave, all those men that come in that are kind of disenchanted with walking the streetscape here and carrying bags for their loved ones, their wives, their significant other, they come in and they just enjoy the man cave.
Now,
And we have two full-time concierges there, you know, attendants.
Well, you can actually, I just wanted people, I mean, you can actually, like, there's this recliner, and you could just actually just go take a nap if you want.
Well, you know something, Sasha, of course, and then we have Heidi that seem to be, well, they're pretty, we rotate the concierge service and personnel, I should say. But those two really have some great stories, and because Sasha reminds me of a couple of ladies, independent of one another at different times. Wake me up in an hour. I have a plane to catch, and an hour is going to be just fine. Or wake me up in 45 minutes. And, you know, we're even considering really expanding that to include, at least it's been under discussion, to have massage and or services of masseuse. And whether that happens or not, I probably, maybe it's premature to even talk about it, but it's a possibility, that's for sure. It's a big success, that, and I think you experienced that yourself, Merle, didn't you?
Oh, sure. So tell people how you get into the Access.
Well, the Access,
being a writer.
Right. Well, the Access is available to the store's best customers, and the stores always certainly make that, you know, make the customer aware of that, aware to hotel guests, because we've promoted that through our various hotels. And through our management, people that we know, such as yourself, that call or are special. Again, it's not just open to the public, because we, much like the airport lounge or suites, are somewhat you know, regulated by just by numbers, and we have to be somewhat selective, otherwise. It would be, you know,
yeah,
really hard to manage. I think making it special is, so there's no charge, but making it special all makes it all that much better, don't you think? That's more,
so
inviting. You know, yeah. How's the weather there now? We're going to New York December 17th, so are we in for? We're going to be okay?
Yeah, I guess you'll be okay. You know, the weather here, you can't tell what's going to happen here at all.
Yeah.
December 17th, I think I should be here at then, because I'm going off to Texas.
Oh, my gosh. You know, your listeners, I hope they're enjoying this conversation.
Of course they are. You know, as a matter of fact, let me see. I know Esther and Eunice are around here.
Oh, my God, it's the chickens.
That was, yes, that was that, was that,
oh my
Esther,
God,
was
those chickens.
Unit? You know, they sound alike.
All right.
Right,
chickens,
okay.
Enough. Go scratch
enough,
somewhere else and get
kidding.
To, are you giving them chicken feed? What are you giving them?
I had some corn. I was going to give them some corn, and then I realized that I almost made a mistake, and it was popcorn.
Oh.
You know, and I didn't want them to blow up, you know? I mean...
No, not at all. You know, something we were talking the other day about entertainment, weren't we? I finally remembered the name, but now I've forgotten it again.
Don Rickles.
Huh?
Don Rickles.
That's it. Don Rickles. Thank you.
Yes, I was going to call you.
We were talking about Don Rickles, Jackie Green, and, oh, my God.
Yes.
And Alan King, for God's sake.
Alan King, oh, yeah.
Or should I say for gosh sakes? Oops. Anyway, your listeners, I don't want to offend them. Listen, can I be funny for a minute? No,
sure,
I'm kidding. I
You're
can't
always
be funny.
Though.
You were very funny the other day. That was so enjoyable. It really was.
I'm really warped. Did you see the photos? You didn't get to see the photos on my blog yet, did you?
No, not yet. No.
Oh, you have to go. Okay, I'll email the link.
If you don't email them, I'll come there and see you in New York on the 17th. And my gosh, we're going to be staying at the Waldorf Astoria. Is this a plug for the Waldorf or not? Should I say that?
I guess so. The Waldorf. You know, I remember the Waldorf. This is like. The only thing that always sticks out of my head about the Waldorf is I had a rich uncle that would come to New York and stay in the Waldorf all the time, and I remembered that you know, it's an expensive place to stay because he was like loaded.
Oh ho ho!
That's
about the
Waldorf?
What about the Waldorf salad? Does that come from the Waldorf?
It probably did at one point.
Yeah, and then you got, you know, as long as we're talking about food, then you also have the Caesar salad. And that's not too far from us, Mr. Caesar down there in Tijuana, I believe it was.
Oh, is it?
Baja. He came up with Caesar, the Caesar salad.
And here I thought it was from out there in the old country. The old country. You know, it's funny how everybody gets the old country. It's like, you know, like, but everybody, it doesn't matter where they're from, then they go the old country.
It's the old country.
But you ever notice, like, but it's always Europeans they'll say that.
That's true. That's true.
Europeans will refer to it as the old country.
Well,
I came from the old.
You can visit the old country here because, you know, we do have this international. Well, you know, I mentioned to you that I think it was in an earlier conversation. Not today, but when you were here, Visa International some years ago, you know, selected the most popular, most famous, I should say, not popular, but the most famous streets in the U.S. to stay, shop, and dine. And, of course, Fifth Avenue in New York, Madison. And, of course, Bal Harbour in Florida. And Peachtree in Atlanta. Rittenhouse Row in Philadelphia. And the Rodeo Drive here in California, Union Square in California, and yes, South Coast Plaza. And we are on Bristol Street. We're 5 minutes from the Orange County Airport, John Wayne Orange County Airport. And when we talk about the number of people that visit here, it's kind of interesting because some writer also indicated, you know, when I look at your stores and your store selection, and your diversity of dining. There are 17 different countries that I counted up that you could visit at South Coast Plaza in 3 or 4 hours, and you don't need a visa, you don't need a passport, there's no borders across.
You need
across.
A MasterCard, though.
Well,
maybe.
You said it, I didn't. What about American Express? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Don't leave home without it.
And the Chinese use the China Union Pay Card. Really? That's
really?
Their,
that's well, that would part. Be a problem, though.
No, it
you
hasn't
know
been
why?
A problem for our stores. Why? Why is that?
Because then an hour later, they'd want to use it again. Chinese food, an hour later, you're hungry. Okay.
Where are those chicken guys? Are they still around, those chickens? Are
oh,
they roosting?
Are...
What are those things? Are they roosting or what are they doing?
Oh, they're hanging around here waiting to not be fed.
Well, Merle, if you're not in Texas, when we get back to New York, look forward to peeking
oh,
in or calling
oh,
in
sure.
or seeing
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget,
I'll slip
spend
into
the
Manette.
Summer in the Catskills. Remember that?
Yeah.
The summer in the Catskills or the, you know, the...
But let me ask you a question. So when you were saying in terms of, like, you can get... That the hotels might give you these access passes that you
oh,
can get
yeah.
them like
yes
do
they
you know,
have
like,
those. They have
oh,
those
okay.
we've given those to the hotels and the
okay,
hotels
so,
you know we have the hotels yeah. on the coast and we have the hotels near the airport and the hotels in Costa Mesa, the hotels in Newport Beach inland.
Oh, okay.
And in Anaheim.
In other words, like, because I'm not sure, because I know I'm going to have Ken Beck from the Embassy Suites is going to be on to talk about history. And I'm just wondering if Embassy Suites might have.
Well, if they don't, we'll make sure they have them.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that would be wonderful if you could ask them or I could call them. Because, oh, yeah, that would be wonderful, really. Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, especially since, you know, since they their shuttle will take you there, that's a, you know, it's always a great idea. I think I'm not sure whether I went there, or maybe the atrium took me there.
I think the atrium may have, or the Fairmont, because they're by the airport. I think you were by the airport, weren't you? I think.
Well, I went to first. I was at the Embassy Suites, and then I went. You know, we can make sure. Ken, you're on the air. Are you there, Ken?
Pardon me.
Yeah. Hi. How are you, Merle?
That's Ken.
Yeah, Ken from Embassy.
Yeah.
And Whitney,
yeah.
The CVB.
Oh my gosh! Now we got a triumvirate. We got a three-way conversation going.
Oh sure, I could put four people on. I could keep putting it all these people on. But I know you have to go someplace.
Yes, I do. Gosh, Merle, I'm so glad. Thank you so much for just a moment to revisit, and look forward to you coming back out here. And again, if I miss you in Texas, I'll see you when you're out here. Or certainly in New York, and I'm sure that everything. Thank you so much. It's just been a wonderful, 25 minutes. Thank you, Merle. And travel
Have
safely. Happy New Year. And
Bye-bye. And Hanukkah. Bye.
Oh, yes. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Ken, Werner was talking about the this thing called an access card. Are you familiar with it?
I'm not sure what he's specifically talking
about.
The
South Coast Plaza has these VIP hospitality suite cards, access cards. And he said that they're at like a lot of the hotels. And he said, he just was saying he's going to ask you if he wants to extend that to give to your hotel.
Oh, sure. We're always happy to have information, and we get monthly email updates from South Coast Plaza, and we send actually a lot of guests that direction.
Yeah, because what it is you should go yourself to check it out, because they have this hospitality suite is really cool. So that would be a great thing to push. But before we even talk about the Embassy Suites, which we will, we're going to plug it. I want to get into this whole thing regarding history, and since you were the person who led the tour, let's go into, go ahead, go talk.
Well, one of the things that we appreciated you jumping on that tour is, even though Irvine is really a more recent city than what you're used to, with only 45 people lived in Irvine until 1964. This was one big ranch. But there's a lot of history that goes all the way back, 200-300 years. And what we were able to do is it gets you into a few places to see how Irvine and the rest of Orange County that surrounds us has grown up from cattle towns and horse-drawn carriages up to where we are right now. So we started that tour by going over to First American, which is one of the oldest companies in Orange County, and they're a title company, and they have one of the largest historical photography collections, about 10,000 pieces. We were able to go through their buildings and see quite a few views of what Irvine and Orange County looked like 100 years ago, and that's just the tip of the iceberg for what they have in their archives. And that's something that the journalist or anybody that's interested in history can access via their site.
Okay, so in other words, aside from what I guess I'll call the lobby, you can get a tour if you're not a journalist?
You can request to get a small tour, not as much as we did, but you'll be able to go into the one area in that kind of open, and you'll be able to request to see specific images of different cities. So if you're researching, for instance, you want to learn all about Irvine, you can request to see just the pictures they have on Irvine.
Great. Oh, okay. I remember all of that. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure whether it was Esther or Eunice, one of my rubber chickens, that was trying to open up the safe that was in the lobby.
And that was their original safe when that company opened back in 1889.
Wow. That's an old safe. I hope they're not going to put that on Craigslist.
Oh, I don't think that'll be going anywhere.
And so then this second place we went to, I'm not sure we went to that, which we went to next. One of them was the Irvine Museum.
We did. There's actually a couple different museums that are in the Orange County area. What we specifically wanted to do was bring you to Irvine's museum that was started by Joan Irvine, and she was the great-granddaughter of Mr. Irvine that owned that entire ranch. So she has dedicated her time and money and collections, and it's a celebration of California artists, primarily people that are doing the landscape. So you're getting kind of these images of what California looked like 50, 60, 80 years ago.
Right, yeah. And it's and they're nice pieces of art as well.
Absolutely. And that's something that the Irvine Museum rotates exhibits in. So they've got quite a large collection. And so you can go back, I believe it's once a quarter that they rotate that in. And they also will do traveling exhibitions as well.
Okay. Now, the other thing, the Irvine Company, tell us about what that is and where that extends to. And
hi, Merle. It's Wendy Hazy from Destination Irvine.
Hi.
Hi. The Irvine Company is a company that owns development and several of the shopping centers, including Fashion Island, Irvine Spectrum Center. They own a number of the developments here, from businesses to residential apartments and so forth. They also own or did own one of the hotels in Newport Beach. So they're the company that was the Irvine family. So it's run by the Irvine family.
Okay, I got that. And this is where the thing with the... Now, when I went to, all right, the other museum, what's the other one that had all the artifacts?
That was the Irvine Historical Society, and
okay.
That house was actually the original ranch house for the Irvine Ranch. And later then it became the clubhouse for the golf course that sits right there. And at the time that they developed the new golf course, they used that building to house the Historical Society. And so you saw a lot of artifacts for when the ranch was in operations. There are some other things that the Irvine Company was involved with. And there's a great display of the Boy Scout Jamboree when that happened here.
And so with this, with seeing all these artifacts, I just want to clear where I was. Am I, like, on the edge of where these 20,000 acres are getting are being given to the park? Was that anything to do with it, where I was in that area?
You were pretty darn close. The Irvine Company donated 20,000 acres of open space, and that doubled basically what our large OC parks have. And we are now the largest urban park, I believe, in the entire United States that's got hiking and a lot of the mountain biking. There's a lot of naturalist things that people go see, as well as the wildlife. And the areas that they donated really are more up by the Irvine Spectrum and what used to be the El Toro Marine Base, which is now becoming Orange County's Great Park. So this is going to be a process years over to continue to develop for the public use. And, it's just great that we have that much open space with 30 million people within 30-minute drive of this area.
So was this 20,000 acres, was it private before and now it's public, or is that what's the case on that? By in other words, in terms of by donating it to the parks, what does that mean?
Irvine Company owned that 20,000 acres, and by donating it, it means that it will remain open space, that there will be no future development on it, no homes, no shopping centers, none of that. It'll be used for public access for hiking, biking, horseback riding, and so forth.
Oh, okay. So in other words, but if I was there before, I was there before.
It was private land.
So in other words, I wouldn't have had access to all of this.
You would have had, there would have been signs that said private property, no trespassing.
Okay. And
there was
and a different,
one portion of the land that was open monthly for access for hiking and biking.
Okay. So now it'll be maintained by the Parks Department and, you know, it'll have public access then.
Yes.
Oh, well, I think that's great.
And it's now totaling with that donation, it totals 50,000 acres that the Irvine County has donated to Orange County Parks.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the biggest land transfer in county parks history. And like Ken said, it is now the largest urban open space in the U.S.
I guess once this is all, I was trying to get the Parks Department. They couldn't have anybody call in because I'm sure they haven't gotten to the point where they say, okay, now it'll cost you such and such to get in or this and that or, you know, whatever. I don't know when that'll be, you know, available, the information.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard or anything?
No, this was just announced this week.
Oh, okay.
It's been Merle, that's been in the works for about a year, but now it's official, and it's officially transferred. So over the next 3 years, the Irvine Company has what's called the Irvine Ranch Conservancy, and they help manage the wildlands, and they're going to continue to conduct research and education. And the idea is to restore everything to, you know, what it originally was. So, you know, as they open up different areas of the parks right here, they want to make sure that they maintain a balance of openness to the public, but also to make sure that we're not disturbing, you know, the natural environment, the animals that come through here, and the wildlife.
Oh, okay.
And this is really, when you were with us in the heart of Irvine, we're very much an urban area. So, you know, it's the homes, the buildings, the offices, the airport. You go 20 minutes from here, you're in a wilderness that really is what everything here looked like 65 years ago.
Wow, that's cool. Is there anything, you know, it's funny, Wendy, you're going to have me back. You know, I come back there, I go, 2 days, I'll see everything I didn't see before. Now it's like, well, people, I'm hearing all this stuff about the shopping center, that all of that I missed, and that whole, you know, there's a lot more, and now and the parks and thing, and also the military memorial. I guess at least we'll be able to talk about this. Maybe at some point I need to take another run over there.
Well, we'd like to give people a reason to return.
Oh, yeah. There's certainly plenty for me to write about. That's for sure. The list, I can't tell you how long it is, and getting longer. The more things that's going on there, I go, there's another one, another article.
Well, good.
Sure. I want to also kind of like mention that there's no downtown Irvine. There's no, like, if somebody says, oh, let's go to downtown Irvine. How is it? It's just made up of communities?
Well, Irvine, you know, in itself, and much like all of Orange County, we're not a metropolis like New York City or even Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles has its downtown, and then it's very spread out. You know, Long Beach, which I believe you were at, you know, they have a downtown area, and then once again it gets sprawling. Most of Orange County here is kind of spread. You've got areas where it is offices and commerce, and then you've got areas where it's designated for shopping or retail, and then you've got areas where it's homes. So it's very well planned out, and there's areas that you can go to, but it's not going to be a downtown area.
Right. So in case anybody's looking for downtown Irvine, there ain't none.
No, there would be a city center where the City Hall is located. So when you're using a point of reference for, like, the airport is 7 miles from the city center, which is where the police station and the City Hall is located. But, no, there's not a concentrated downtown. There's not a main street, per se, where there's, you know, shopping and strolling along a main street of sorts.
Now we do
there was also an area of old, what was it called, Old Irvine or something like that. I understand that there are buildings that they maintain, but they're not, like, you can't go to them.
Well, there is one property, La Quinta, that's housed in a historic landmark, and that's in the Old Town Irvine area.
Yeah, is there anything else? Like, if somebody said, oh, I want to go to Old Town Irvine, would they see anything?
It's been mostly a reuse of existing buildings, but there's still a post office out there. As Wendy mentioned, the La Quinta Hotel is right near the railroad tracks, and that used to be a working warehouse. I forget what product came out of there. And there's one other building that was believed turned into a bar and a restaurant, but it maintains that historic look. It's kind of close to the Irvine Spectrum, which is that, you know, when you ask for a downtown, we do have things like the Irvine Spectrum, which is an area you can go to for your shopping, dining, entertainment, et cetera. So that's close to the Old Town area.
Oh, okay. And I think that's near where Pretend City is too, right?
Correct. Pretend City is just about 5 minutes just outside of that Irvine Spectrum, which is where we took you to the comedy club.
Right. and also that great restaurant that was across the way.
Guardhouse?
Yeah, that was good.
That was very good.
Well, I went to, and I was hoping to get them on. I went to this little, like, bistro that just opened up. Something Le Napoleon Patisserie or something. I don't know. It's French, so I don't know how to pronounce it. And so they just opened up. If you get a chance, you got to check it out. Kind of sandwiches, but the baked goods are to die for, I got to tell you. It's nice to see, and it's also nice to see that businesses are still opening.
Well, that's one area that Irvine and actually Orange County have fared well in the recession from most of the state, is that in shopping and restaurants and so forth.
So, Ken, I wanted to ask you in terms of, because you do these, how do you do these tours just for, for journalists, or is this something that you do?
Well, you know, on occasion we do have a lot of maybe our business partners, but we're not necessarily taking on these kind of historical tours like you were on. The tour that you took to learn a little bit about the arts and history of Irvine in Orange County, of course, was part of the Travel Media Showcase, and those journalists had options of signing up for that tour, for a tour of more of the natural areas and some horseback riding. We had some folks that went on buses down to the beach areas, and one that was just, they wanted to go back shopping. So these are things
right.
that we wanted to really give exposure for, you know, where Irvine is, so that you know if you're coming to Orange County, regardless if you're going to the beach or Disneyland, you fly into John Wayne Airport, you take one step out, you're in Irvine. We're literally minutes from everything.
Yeah, but Ken, are you an historian? I mean, why? How did you wind up, you know, in terms of like the history tour? Is it something that that you're into on Irvine?
I do like the history of not only just Irvine but all of Orange County. I've lived in Orange County for most of my life, so I've seen this kind of whole area grow up since the late '60s. And so very much like our guest speaker, Chris, that was on the bus as well.
Right.
Kind of similar, you know, we liked that. So when we were preparing for the Travel Media Showcase, I volunteered. I said, you know what, I want to take care of one of these tours. And so I worked hard to reach out to different organizations and what I felt would make an interesting day for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it was really cool. I got a little mixed up on with the museums and stuff, of which, you know, I, later on when I went, now this one had this or this had this one. Thank God I take photos. I can go back and look at them. It's like now having gone back and seen a lot and more of Irvine, it would be even more interesting to going to these places again and saying, oh, that's right, and I was over there, and I say, oh, that's there, and, you know, that kind of a thing. That would be an interesting aspect. But I also wanted to ask you about the hotel, the Embassy Suites Hotel. Tell us what's there. You know, the thing in my head, by the way, that when I think about it is like, oh, the glass elevator.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah. No, I just I love glass elevators. You know, and
well,
Embassy
Suites, we have just over 200 hotels throughout the United States and some international. And, you know, we have four brand pillars we really stand on. And that is that you're going to have a spacious two-room suite. You're going to have a great cook-to-order breakfast served for you each morning. You're going to have an evening manager reception with some light snacks and some complimentary beverages, including beer, wine, cocktail, and soft drinks. And we're going to put you in an environment that has that big, open, kind of tropical atrium feel with water features. So I hope you enjoyed your stay when you were with us.
I did it, but I was commenting in my blog. I was commenting because of everything I was doing. I didn't have time for either the breakfast or the manager's special thing. And I'm going, oh, well, I'm going to go to dinner. Well, oh, I don't know if I want to eat and then eat. I was tempted to, just to, you know. Well, I understand. Is Remington's the name of the restaurant?
No, at my hotel, the restaurant's the Ha Penny.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure about a Remington's around here.
Oh, okay. Because I think when I'm going to Texas this month and going to McAllen, I'm not sure whether I'm staying in the Embassy Suite. I see something about having lunch at the Embassy Suites, and I'm going, oh, another, oh, good. Maybe I'll be staying there, too. I don't know. That's up to them. But I like the whole atmosphere of the hotel is nice, and you have great people in the front. They're very friendly.
Well, good. We appreciate that, and thank you again for choosing to stay with us when you were back in Irvine this time.
And also, like, I want to kind of mention in terms of, like, one of you know, I guess I don't know how many hotels do this, to have this shuttle service, which allows people who are coming in there who don't drive to get to some of the attractions, if you want to call them, or the restaurant.
Sure. In Irvine, we have 14 hotel properties. And the majority of them do offer a shuttle service within a limited radius of the property.
Right.
So you get to experience some dining and shopping and some of the major attractions without having to rent a car.
Which is cool. I understand this thing, iShuttle. I didn't see it, though. I was looking for some bus running around, but I don't know.
The
iShuttle
is a public transportation, and it runs two different routes. And it's a free shuttle service, and there's different routes stops to be picked up and met at, and there's schedules for the week and weekend as well.
Well,
and
that's
it's a
great
complimentary service put on through the city.
I was looking at the map of it. Does it go out to the Spectrum Center?
You know, it did not
direction?
When you were here, but they just announced that they're going to be expanding service, and it will include the Irvine Spectrum Center as well.
Oh, that's great. That's a great idea. Oh, okay. That's good because, you know, as I said, for people who are just like, oh, you know, they park their car at the hotel and say, oh, I don't want to drive around.
Mm-hmm.
Or
exactly.
They want to get, yeah, they don't want to have a designated driver. They want to just, like, you know.
They want to enjoy their libations. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, uh-huh. Right. Well, did I miss anything on in terms of historical places?
No, I don't think so. Did you want to mention about the leading into the historical aspect of things, the Northwood Gratitude and Honor Memorial?
Well, I think, let me see, Dale Jelinek, do you know who Dale Jelinek is?
No.
He should be coming on in about 5 minutes. He's going to, because I was trying to contact somebody.
Uh-huh.
And I believe he's going to talk all about this whole thing.
Oh, great.
Which is great. And if, you know, I mean, no one says you got to leave and get off. I mean, because you might, I mean, you guys might have some questions as well, since this is, you know, all these little newbie things pop up.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be interesting to hear from him. It's a great addition to Irvine and something to honor our fallen American service members.
Now, the other thing I also wanted to ask, Wendy, I wanted to ask you some, you said, can somebody come by railroad?
There's Irvine Station, yes, the Amtrak.
Really?
Uh-huh, and Metrolink, okay. Which is a commuter rail.
Oh, so for somebody who doesn't want to fly and doesn't mind taking a long train ride, that's an option then, huh?
That is an option, yes.
Well, that's pretty good. And you must be proud of Irvine.
I'm discovering that there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and it's all good.
Yeah, I certainly enjoyed being there. As I said, like, you know, there was a lot more. I thought I saw everything, and then I'm going, oh, I didn't see everything. And that's okay.
You know, you hate to say it, but I think people are pleasantly surprised when they stay here that it's more than just office buildings and business parks, that there's history and there's attractions and dining, very diverse and some great dining options, shopping, golf courses, and like we talked about earlier, 2,000 acres of hiking and 2,000 acres of open space with hiking, biking, and horseback riding trails.
I think originally, I'm not sure where you're going to be. There was supposed to be some tour with people going horseback riding. Did that ever happen?
Yes, they did get an option. That was one of the options that you had.
Oh okay. Well, I think I have. Dale, are you on?
Hi, Merle. Yes.
I have, we got some other people on here to chat, that we could chat about. But I got you, Dale, introduce yourself to my audience.
Hi, I'm Dale Jelinek. I'm a volunteer who's worked for about the last year and a half on something called the Northwood Gratitude and Honor Memorial in Irvine, California. It's a memorial dedicated to the American servicemen and women who've died in Afghanistan and Iraq.
So how did this all come about with this happening?
Well, it's been kind of a long story. Over the last 8 years, an unorganized grassroots group of neighbors in Irvine and some from neighboring communities have gotten together each year, the week before Memorial Day, and put up a temporary wooden memorial to all of the fallen heroes. And each of the heroes' names would be listed and have a photograph of them and usually a very short biography. And then a ceremony would be held, a public ceremony, on Memorial Day, and another one on July 5th. And the memorial would then be taken down thereafter. Between Memorial Day and July 5th, throughout the month of June and early July, there would be nightly candlelight vigils that would be held by those same folks. So this has been going on since May of 2003.
So in other words, originally this was just local folks.
mostly local folks involved in creating and maintaining the memorial, but the memorial has always held the names of every American who's died in these conflicts, regardless of where they hail from.
So at what point did this, like, expand to more than, you know, into, like, something that was, like, national?
Well, from the very outset, a fellow named Asher Milgram was just a local neighbor who realized that in May of 2003, as we were approaching Memorial Day, that there really weren't very many memorials being held to remember those who died already in Afghanistan and Iraq. So in his garage, he created 33 wooden crosses and painted the names of the 33 that had died by that point on each of those crosses, and went to the local neighborhood park called Northwood Community Park, and he erected those in the park on a corner of two busy streets. And spontaneously, on Memorial Day, a large number of other Irvine residents gathered and sang some songs and talked about the war and so on, and it became an annual event. So that subsequent to that, it went from individual crosses as the numbers mounted to posts with printouts of names. And by the time the last temporary memorial was erected, I think there were 169 posts, double-sided, with, I would think, something like 50 names on each side of each post. And what became obvious to us is that when you get to that number of names, you're recognizing a large number of fellow citizens who've given their lives in service to the nation. And from the very beginning, there was a desire to have a permanent memorial. So it's always been in the mind of the people who've been doing this independently that it should always be national in scope and at some point should become a permanent memorial.
So how did this thing come about as being permanent? Who was doing, I guess, now I can only see from, like, going online, it looks like names are etched in marble. That's what it looks like to me. I can't tell what it is.
Well, if I could bore you with just a little bit of history, I think it's a great example of how citizens in Irvine have been able to work with the city of Irvine and the city council and mayor. In 2005, the city council actually appropriated some funds to build a permanent memorial to the heroes of Iraq and Afghanistan. But for 5 years, the city would never approve the design plans presented to it by the members of this grassroots organization. Now, remember, this is not a formal organization. It's just people ranging in age from the early 20s to the mid-80s who would gather and work on these memorials and then try to pursue something more permanent with the city. And so 5 years, there was pretty much a standoff where we knew that the city was in favor of a memorial, but there just wasn't a meeting of the minds of what it should look like and where it should be. The city came up with pretty much two choices for the group. One was, if we wanted a memorial with all of the individual names on it, it couldn't be in that community park, but instead they offered two solutions, both of which were about 5 miles away from the original location. The first one was called Colonel Bill Barber Park next to City Hall, or the Great Park, which is adjacent to the city of Irvine to the east. But it really removed it from that neighborhood, and that didn't feel right to the group. The other choice was you could have a memorial in that community park, but it'd be a simple tablet, or more recently they had suggested a video display. Well, the group had a very different idea and was really holding fast to the fact that it should remain in that community park with all the names of the fallen, and another do-or-die kind of situation was no other names would be on that memorial. So upon dedication, you wouldn't see a plaque that honored all the members of the city council and the mayor and who built it and so on. We felt very strongly that the only names should be those that are who are being honored and remembered. But in mid-2009, the group came up with a revised plan for a radically different design and submitted to the city. And by October, Irvine's mayor, Suki Kang, got very enthused about the new design. He understood more clearly the reason why individual names were so important, and he got why it needed to be where people could see the memorial every day as a reminder that freedom isn't free. So by December, the mayor led a unanimous vote of approval of the city council to proceed with that revised plan. So we broke ground in May of 2010 and had our dedication ceremony on November 14th of 2010.
And who actually did the memorial itself, I guess? And I guess I want to get back to, is it marble?
Well, the design of the memorial is that there are five towers, four-sided towers. We call them sentinels. And each sentinel is about 7 feet tall, and on each face of each sentinel is a black granite tablet. And on each black tablet are inscribed in the granite the names and ages of all those who have fallen, and they're listed in chronological order. They've been hand-painted with a white epoxy so that the names are in sharp contrast to the black granite. And then at night, there's a soft downlighting on each granite face so that you can come to the memorial 24 hours a day and clearly read the names of every one of those heroes.
So, I mean, have people come in and, like, put paper on there, you know, to get, like, a copy, if you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and we thought about that and decided that was exactly what we wanted to have happen. So at the dedication ceremony, we actually had commemorative tracing papers available and the appropriate pencils in order to do that tracing. Now that
right.
the dedication ceremony is behind us, we've made available through the park staff, there's a recreation center there, it's staffed during normal park open hours. They have tracing paper and pencils there, as well as a list, so if you come in with a specific name or names, they can tell you exactly on which sentinel, on which panel, and how many lines down from the top you can find that name.
Wow. I guess they call them rubbings. Isn't that what the term is called?
Right. It's called a rubbing. What was very meaningful to us is on the dedication day, we anticipated that the Gold Star families, Gold Star designation started in the 1940s when families either hung a blue star in their window indicating they had a member of their family in the active military service, or Gold Star indicating that a family member had died while in active military service. So we anticipated the Gold Star families would come and do the rubbings of the names, and they did. We had somewhere around, I think, 300 to 350 Gold Star family members attend the dedication. But what really struck us is that we had representation for the ceremonies from both the United States Marine Corps and the United States Army. And after the ceremonies ended, these young men and women who could have just as easily gotten back in their vans and headed back to their bases actually remained, and they started doing the rubbings of their friends. So it was the friends of the fallen who also have started taking comfort. And we've heard, and I've gotten emails from some who have come subsequently after the ceremony on their own just to come and spend time at the memorial.
Yeah, so in other words, the word has gotten out there since the actual ceremony. Have people are now like learning that this is there?
Well, it's interesting because this again has always been kind of a local memorial without any kind of publicity taking place. But throughout the years, and my wife, daughter, and I have been attending Memorial Day ceremonies since 2004. What we realized is that people were coming from across the country. Over time, there have been visitors from South Carolina, Virginia, Kansas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Arizona, Utah, and we could never quite figure out how word was getting out. And I suspect that it is in a couple of ways. One is that there's a network of Gold Star mothers that have local organizations to provide support and solace for one another, and they would perhaps communicate the presence of the memorial. But we also had one instance where a young man rolled up on a motorcycle, complete with a black helmet and black leathers, and this was about 2 years ago, and it was during the Memorial Day weekend ceremony. And he wandered around and was looking at each of the posts with all the names on them, and he finally stopped and sat down in front of one post. And he remained immobile for about 20 minutes and then got up, and as he was leaving, he sought to talk to some of the volunteers. And he thanked us for putting the memorial up. And so we asked how he had heard about it, and he said, well, he had been on active duty in Iraq and had been in a Humvee with three other soldiers, and the Humvee had been hit by an explosive, and he was severely wounded, and his three buddies were killed, and that he had just been released from a hospital, an army hospital in West Germany, and then had flown back to Texas, to the base in Texas, and he had some leave coming. So he got on his motorcycle and drove directly from Texas, Fort Hood, Texas, to Irvine, because he had heard about the memorial.
Wow.
And that's the other group of people who have lost friends. They find a sense of comfort and closure by coming to the memorial. And there's two other groups that we've found already that have been contacting us, talking about their experience. One is just the general public. We saw quite a few of them at the dedication ceremony. And veterans from other wars who really appreciated the fact that this memorial didn't take 50 years to be built. And the other group are children. I was contacted by email by a local den mother who wanted to know if she needed to get a permit to bring her troop over to the memorial. She wanted to teach them some things about flag etiquette and a lesson on devotion and courage. In the process of exchanging emails with her, she decided that what the boys would do would be to each choose a name off the memorial, do some research on the internet about them, and compose and send a letter of condolence to the family.
Wow, that's a great idea.
And I was talking to another volunteer two nights ago, and he has an 11-year-old son, and the son came up to him about 7 o'clock in the evening, and he said, hey, Dad, you want to go check on our boys? And by that he meant, should we go over to the memorial? So the dad took his son over there. The son took his time to tidy up the memorial, cleaning away leaves that had blown onto it and so on. And then they just sat there, the two of them together. So when we look at the potential of who can get some value out of visiting this memorial, it's clear that there are really at least four different groups of people that come to it and find great value in their visit.
Dwight? Is it Dwight or Dwayne? Hello?
Dale.
I'm sorry. This is Wendy Hazy. I'm Director of Tourism Marketing for Destination Irvine.
Yes.
I think this is a wonderful asset to have in Irvine, and we would love to be able to include that on our new website that we're launching next year and mention and include any events that you're having at the memorial. And we would welcome you or someone from the organization to come in and talk to our hoteliers to educate them about the monument so that when we have visitors in that they're aware of what it is and that we can perhaps extend, hotel specials to those who are coming for that.
I really appreciate that. What we found is that there were a couple of hotels that were very gracious in offering some support to the visiting out-of-town Gold Star families that came to town. And one of the things that we know is that Irvine, while not necessarily is a well-known destination location, our proximity to places like Disneyland and to Los Angeles, makes it easy for people who are already here in Orange County to say, well, there are some interesting places to go to in the city of Irvine. It'd be kind of fun to take a day and do that. And also those who have a reason, just as I said, there's a wide group of people who might be interested in attending the memorial on their own or to come for one of the ceremonies. We will continue to have ceremonies on Memorial Day, the 5th of July, and September 11th. And I would love to work with you. So offline, perhaps, we can get together. And
absolutely.
I'd certainly ask people to take the opportunity to go to our website, which is Northwood Memorial, all one word, northwoodmemorial.com.
Well, I will get your contact information from Merle. And with that, Merle, Ken and I are going to step off. We appreciate
okay.
the opportunity to promote Embassy Suites in Irvine. And thank you for your time. And thank you again.
Okay. Have a great evening. And by the way, I guess we're going to also have to find out either to put this on. I don't know where the park is and location, but maybe it could be either a stop on the I shuttle, or I don't know where in terms of the hotels that might want to shuttle there. I have no idea location wise.
Well, we'll work on that internally. But thanks again.
Yeah,
happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays. And
yeah.
Dale, I'll be in touch.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh well, that was that's more publicity for you, Dale, huh?
One of the things I also wanted to mention for people who might be interested in visiting the park is that the memorial is in the Northwood Community Park, and it's locally known by residents as Castle Park because of a large castle-like climbing structure that's there for younger children. There's great play areas, swing sets and bouncers and those sorts of things, as well as soccer fields, lighted baseball fields, tennis courts, a park course and a running track, as well as the recreation center. So if, you know, the dad or the mom who might be the veteran wants to spend a few quiet moments by themselves and the family's with them, the family can certainly find great fun activities to occupy their time right there in the park. And there's lots of interesting places in terms of shopping and restaurants and fast food all within 5 minutes of the park. So it's very convenient, and it's only 4 minutes off of the I-5 freeway.
Okay, which again, I just like, I'm totally blank. Where is it in terms of the airport, of the John Wayne Airport?
It's about a 20-minute drive northeast of
okay.
the airport.
Oh, okay. This is, now I have a kind of sense of it in my head is like a map kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this, by the way, is this the only memorial that has this?
Yes, it is. We're the first and only. We've done quite a bit of research on this, and there are many towns or communities that have a memorial to the local fallen.
Right.
Might even be a countywide, but no one has, and there's one in the state of Oregon that is for all of Oregon citizens who've died. But this is the first national in scope. And we intend to maintain it. Right now there's 5,714 names, which are all of those who have died from the beginning of action through September 30th of this year. And four times a year we will have the engraving done to add the additional names of those who have died.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask. There's still area to continue this.
That's correct. There are 20 panels in total. About 17 are filled with names, and there are plans, and the way it was constructed was, you know, heaven help us that we don't have to do this, but should we need to expand the memorial in the future, we can do that and still maintain the design and integrity of the memorial.
Wow, that's really great. Is there anything that I missed to talk about?
Now, again, what I'd ask is people visit our site at northwoodmemorial.com. Again, the city did provide some funding for this to take place, but we have obligations to match some of their funding, as well as we've taken on the obligation to maintain the memorial going forward and pay for the additional engraving and any expansion. So we are looking for folks who are willing to send us a check or somehow donate and contribute to this cause so that we can make sure that this is a living memorial. And as long as there are Americans dying in those two conflicts, that they will be remembered with honor and gratitude.
Okay. That's great. It's a great thing. I'll make sure. I definitely will be writing about this. That's for sure.
Well, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity to get the word out more broadly across the country.
Okay. Yep. You will. All right. Thanks again, Dale. Have a good evening, and if there's, you know, anything you want to let me know, if you know any things that come up. I know that Wendy said she's going to, you know, get together with you in terms of putting things up on the Irvine Chamber of Commerce website. But, you know, if things come up in the events, I guess if the events come up, they'll be on your website, right?
They will indeed.
Okay. And also, I think, are you in touch? I know I get a newsletter from California Tourism. Are you aware of are you in touch with them?
We haven't been, and we're finally at the point, because we've really been in the mode of let's make this physically happen, that
uh-huh.
we haven't had the chance to do the outreach that we'd like to. So that's pretty much one of our top focuses for the coming year.
Okay. I know that there would be something that they would have in their newsletter and also send out to different people, to writers and such, you know?
That's a great idea, and I will follow up with them.
Okay. All right. As I said, have a great evening.
Thank you so much. You too. I appreciate
okay.
the opportunity to be on your show.
All right. Take care.
Right, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, that's some cool ideas. Well, there's other reasons to go to Irvine I haven't even talked about and covered. I had gone to the Barclay Theater. I know that in February I had someone from the Barclay Theater on the radio show. And I did go to the Performing Arts Center, and I was very pleased. I got to see Beauty and the Beast, and it was on tour. And I was speaking with one of the writers that was there, because it was a review night, and she said that was like in the area. Other than if you go to, like, Los Angeles, that's, like, the largest of the theaters is the Performing Arts Center. I think Barclay is probably, like, second, I think. I'm not sure. The one thing I appreciated at the Performing Arts Center was the seats. They're wider and have more leg room than any of the seats on in New York on Broadway, and you pay probably about half the price, you know, so you can at least enjoy the show. As far as the show itself, I didn't get a chance to review the show. It was pretty much good. I mean, I think it's difficult, I think, on the first night when you're having the traveling troupe, you know. Nothing fell down or anything, but on the whole, I really enjoyed the performance and, as I said, in theater itself. Let's see where else. As I said, I wanted to try to get someone this from the Spectrum Center to talk again, particularly the person that owns this bistro And I think on my next show I'll call and I'll see if I can get someone from that bistro. And also I went to this restaurant across the way from Barclay, from the Barclay Theater, which is on the campus of UCI. And I went to this restaurant there called Britta's Cafe, and I'm going to try to get Britta to talk about this place. The food was just wonderful. It's a whole long thing I had, and one of the things I had that I appreciated is that she brines her own olives. So you're getting the olives from California already, and then she does the brining, and it certainly doesn't taste like the stuff out of the jar by all means. I'm gonna cut this off early then, because I'm gonna go eat my din-din, because it's like 7:25 and I'm having lobster ravioli. Ah, yes. And wait a minute. One more sponsor.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seatage of U.S. Airlines.
I tell you, I wish that JetBlue went to that airport. It doesn't. But JetBlue does go to Long Beach, which now that's an idea because, like, since there is a shuttle from the shop from the South Coast Plaza shopping center that'll pick you up from the Long Beach Airport. That's another idea to JetBlue. Okay, as I said. Okay, so I'm going to eat, and on the next show, hopefully I can get to talk about some food time. And so everybody have a great night, evening, afternoon, morning, whenever you do listen to the show.